All that and more on the program today. But it, like I said, it is a week before the May primary. And we got to make sure that more people vote other than me and Chris. Because it seems like we're the only people going to vote. But that's all coming down. And some of you all that live in what is called the 4th Congressional District, Chris, where the congressman, remember my friend Todd, put his foot in his mouth way back when, Rokita, tried to talk about slavery and stuff, and oh, he had to come on this show and apologize. Well, he's now the congressman from the 4th Congressional District. That district includes Kokomo, Lafayette, and West Lafayette, all the truck stops on I-65 between here and just before you get to Lake County. It also includes Greencastle. It includes Lebanon, parts of Boone, the working class parts of Boone County. And it includes all you all that moved to the west side of Indianapolis suburbs, all y'all in Brownsburg, Avon, Plainfield, on the west side of Eagle Creek Reservoir. You're in the 4th Congressional District. And there are 5 Democrats running for the Democratic nomination for the 4th to go up against Todd Rokita. And one, Chris, is a veteran. Reason I know he's a veteran, he's got the official Army sweatshirt on. And he is he's a brother, man of color, amen. His name is John Futrell. He is running for the Democratic nomination for the 4th Congressional District, and he joins me live. Mr. Futrell, welcome. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here, Mr. Brown. Thank you very much.
So why are you running?
It's a real simple question, and I got a very simple answer for you. I'm running for our veterans.
Okay.
Currently, we have a serious crisis more so than what's going on with Mr. Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing 22 veterans each and every day to suicide. That's 80 every one every 80 minutes.
Mm.
There's something that has to be done to stop that. Mm. And I'm running to not only bring light to it, but to go to Congress and end that.
So what tell us about your service to our country, you know, in the Army, and what other background experience would you bring to this job?
Well, what I would bring to the job is 23 years of military service, which includes 14 years active duty. The remainder of the years were in the Indiana National Guard and mm-hmm. the Army Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a commissioned officer, captain right now, but transitioning.
Oh, right.
Yes, sir. I'm transitioning out of the military due to injuries where I can't serve anymore. Mm-hmm. And what brings me to the situation here where I know I could be a very, very strong proponent for veterans is that I kind of lived the situation that a lot of the veterans who committed suicide,
mm-hmm.
I was in deep depression because of what happened to me. It wasn't anything that happened to me when I was in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I did one tour there in Baghdad, mm-hmm. the most dangerous city in the world
was
at that time.
Was that early on in our involvement in Iraq?
Well, I was there when the surge
happened. Okay.
If you think the surge was excellent, then you have to look at me and my team because we were the ones that moved all that equipment into Baghdad and out to the different areas.
And that worked.
It worked. Yes, sir.
We didn't like it at the time,
yes,
but
sir.
I think if we look back at time, it worked.
And I think if you look at what we did, my team did, we didn't lose anyone because we took our job very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I even went out and put my life on the line, even when I didn't have to ensure that we had recon routes done where our soldiers wouldn't get lost, and it worked. So I'm going to take that experience to Washington because, once again, it wasn't the military or – excuse me, it wasn't Iraq that put me in that state of depression. It was our very own that wear uniform, and government civilians.
Right.
They have lost the art of taking care of soldiers or service. I would say service member. I got to get out of that one thing of soldiers. I'm not just going to serve for Army, but I'm also going to serve for all service members, all branches
all
of service.
All who wear our uniform.
Yes, sir.
Because I've noticed in anecdotally, I don't have the numbers in front of me in this election and in the last election, an increasing number of veterans, both in running as Democrats and as Republicans, as independents, one out of a dedication to service because you all were the generation, some of you motivated by the tragedy of 9/11, some motivated by service. You're part of this all-volunteer force that we've had now for pushing almost 30, almost 40 years now.
Yes, sir.
You know, in terms of another level of service, do you think that that quality of service that our military personnel now has will move more of them into politics, continuing that service?
Well, it did for me, and I hope it will for others. I think the veterans bring a lot of experience, not only military, but real-world experience to a political office. And I think the majority of us that are running now, because I have spoken with a couple, we're all running for the same thing. We're right. tired of seeing veterans being treated badly. Mm-hmm. Not all, but some. The ones who are being treated great, they probably won't say a word. Mm-hmm. But for the rest of us, we know that the system's not working for us, and we're going to fix that. Simple as that.
It's almost like this system has never worked. If you go back to after the Civil War and you read history, you know, those veterans were complaining. Definitely after World War One, mm-hmm. when you read in the history books about the bonus marchers that went yes. and camped out on the Mall in Washington, Douglas MacArthur had to break them up.
Yes, sir.
This is not new in terms of how the country seems to forget our men and women in uniform.
Well, I will say this, Amos. Vietnam, the gentleman, or not gentleman, just everyone who was associated with that war right. didn't feel welcome when they came back home.
Right.
We can't say that about everyone that served in OIF mm-hmm. or Afghanistan or any other war that's abroad.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference is we're seeing our very own creating mm-hmm. an atmosphere where they are hurting a lot of veterans. A lot of service members, our very own, the ones that put on the uniform like I did, and the civilians who are supposed to make sure that we're treated properly, that all the rules are applied to everyone, but unfortunately, they aren't. And we need to find out where that's starting at and right. end that quickly.
John Drutrell is running for the Democratic nomination for Congress in the 4th Congressional District, 239-1310, 239-1310. Or you can send me an email at praiseinit.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. On some other issues that don't have anything to do with veterans, where do you stand on the Affordable Care Act?
I'm not a proponent of the ACA. I'm mm-hmm. for single payer. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that, as an active duty officer, I had the ability to have TRICARE. Mm-hmm. And I understand how great that was. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to deny anyone health care. Mm-hmm. That's great. But if we can get more so to single payer, which I think the majority of the Democrats want, mm-hmm. I think we'll have a better chance of getting everyone insured.
How do we reduce the deficit without cutting social programs to the bone, programs that could help veterans, that could help people who are without get a leg up, as well as how do we cut the defense budget without cutting the supplies that our military need? You know, in other words, if we got to go into – no, we ain't going into Ukraine. That would be crazy. But if we got to go somewhere and take care of some business, I want to make sure the men and women have what they need. But you've been over – you know, you've been working in this thing 20 – now, you know that there is some waste up in there. How do we get that balance?
Well, for one, you got to have a Congress that's willing to say no to some of these contractors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of waste is there, and they know it. Mm-hmm. But it's so much money that's being spread out to these politicians that they're going to keep doing the same thing over and over again. As you know, even the Pentagon had mentioned that they didn't want a lot of equipment like aircrafts and things like that. But mm-hmm. yet, Congress decided to fund for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. If someone has to go in there.
Because if you're going to build a ship. That's jobs.
That's right.
And is that part of it that you, because for every piece of equipment or something you guys use, somebody worked to make that.
Absolutely.
And 9 times out of 10, that's an American job somewhere in America.
Well, that would be a stimulus, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to make sure that the money is going in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
We can create jobs by building hospitals,
mm-hmm.
by hiring more doctors for the VAs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by hiring more staff personnel. Those things are what's falling by the wayside right there. That's why we're having veterans in Phoenix die,
mm.
you know, because they're not getting the proper care. You know the story about the 40 that happened in Phoenix.
Mm. Well, tell us about it.
Yes. We found out, what day was that, Big Dave?
Mm-hmm. It was a couple of days ago.
Okay.
They had a report on NBC.
It's Dave Rozelle, who's supporting Brother Futrell here.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. There was a report on NBC that there were, and also on The Wire, that there were 40 veterans who were on what was called a secret waiting list. Mm. They had two waiting lists. And the secret waiting list were people who were never going to get an appointment, never going to get a call back.
Right.
And they highlighted one retired Navy veteran who had bladder cancer.
Cancer. Mm-hmm. Right.
And they ended up having to take him to the emergency room, and they just saw him and sent him home. Well, while he was, you know, they told him he had to get a primary care appointment,
yeah.
Right, first. And so they, his son and daughter-in-law called and called and called and never could get an appointment. And then finally the gentleman passed away.
Mm.
And then a month or two after he passed away, then they called and said, oh, we have an appointment for him. And their response was, "Oh, really? You're too late, sweetheart." And that's happening over and over again, not just in Arizona, but right. in other places as well, because the system is overstrapped. And as John said, they don't have enough hospitals, they don't have enough doctors and staff. In fact, here in central Indiana, the Rodebush VA Medical Center down here on 10th Street services people from as far away as Gary and Evansville and Richmond,
mm-hmm.
Because there are no hospitals located closer to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 239-1310, 239-1310 with John Trutrell. He's running for the Democratic nomination for Congress in the 4th Congressional District. That includes Lafayette, West Lafayette, most of Kokomo, the area around Kokomo, Lebanon, Greencastle, and points in between. Does not include the Terre Haute area. 239, but it also includes Brownsburg, Avon, Plainfield, Hendricks County, those of you right there on the fringe of Marion County between Geis Reservoir and Raceway Road. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon with Amos. As you have gone around campaigning,
yes,
you know, we were talking when we began that this is going to be an abysmally low turnout primary. What's the mood when you talk to Democrats in the 4th District? Because last time, there are Democrats in the 4th District. What's the mood as you talk to them?
Well, there's a lot of Democrats in the 4th District.
Mm-hmm.
With me, Amos, to be honest with you, I have been focusing seriously on running to fix our veterans issue.
Right, right.
I've been called a one-issue candidate, and I've said it on the stumps that I don't mind being a one-issue candidate because our veterans are being treated bad. And you would be surprised at the energy that comes towards me when I'm done with my speech. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are very enthusiastic about the responses, you know, what I'm saying as far as trying to fix something that's broken,
mm-hmm.
and not sit back and tell you I'm going to fix this, 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 and this if I go to Congress. They know for a fact that I'm going to Congress to fix this issue with veterans.
What can the federal government do? Because one of the issues is jobs.
Yes, sir.
For particularly for our veterans that have served in the last 10 to 15 years. What can be done? Can anything be done federally to encourage, strong arm businesses to give to because I think a lot of people thought that there was hiring preferences for businesses for veterans, but it seems that's not the way it is in the real world. You know, is there anything that the Congress can do, that the federal government can do?
One thing I'm pretty sure that what Congress can do is do a transition educational-wise,
mm-hmm.
you know, provide the adequate training for veterans to get a skill that's not going to be applied out here amongst the job force.
Should there also be training not for the veteran, not for the military personnel, but ways that HR directors, directors of human resources, of personnel directors can visit our military facilities and really understand if you are a team leader in the Army, what those skills really are? Because if somebody looks at your resume and says, okay, you're a captain and you were a team leader and you did this, they don't know what that means in the real world.
That would be a great idea to have that type of transition with the military and the civilian workforce, especially the leaders that do the hiring. You're right. They need to understand exactly what we're doing. It's very compatible to what the military is doing as opposed to what's happening out here in the real civilian world.
Mm-hmm.
Everything pretty much lines up. It's just a different terminology that sort of may, you know, distract someone from hiring a veteran. But if they're going in saying that they can do this skill right here as far as welding, right. they could do welding. Mm-hmm. If they're saying that they can go in and do bookkeeping, they can do bookkeeping. It's just the terminology that determines.
Because y'all call it one thing and right. the civilian world calls another. It another.
Right.
And the reason I brought that up, I had the privilege a couple of years ago of interviewing the then national commander of yes. the American Legion. And he said he would go visit CEOs, and the CEO gets it, and they understood it. Right. But the bottleneck was in personnel, because those personnel folks don't really understand
right.
what you – I don't even think – I think the vision of the military goes back to Hollywood
yes, sir.
And what we've seen in movies and TV, and really not understanding – that the leadership skills necessary to motivate a group of individuals to not only do a job, but protect each other while you're doing the job and the task.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. But I think what's going on today is, unfortunately, television has also given a bad side to veterans mm-hmm. or active duty service members. Mm-hmm. So I was reading some literature online where not like 9%, 90% of the people that were – who were asked this question about right. veterans, what they think about us,
right.
most of them think that we are having mental issues mm-hmm. from the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of distracting a lot of, you know, companies from hiring veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are having issues coming back home, trying to get back into society. I right. will admit I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give me an opportunity, I would work as hard as anyone else who haven't served this country. And I'm pretty sure that's how it is with the other veterans. We just want an opportunity. Don't judge us for what everyone else is doing. Just judge us on what we can bring to the table.
Let me go to Regina at 239-1310 with a question for John Futrell, running for the Democratic nomination for the 4th Congressional District. That's to the west of Indianapolis. Hi, Regina.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I need to really get involved in the politics in Brownsburg, and I need to know what I need to do, because we really need some changes there.
All right, so, Regina wants to get involved in Brownsburg, and see that could be a vote right there.
Yes, sir.
How do they get involved and engaged?
Well, you can do like I did. I got in touch with the Hendricks County Democratic Party, and sort of went from there with it. My involvement started last year in January, and now it's got me to where I'm trying to win a congressional race. Would be the first place to start.
Does the Hendricks County Democratic Party have a website?
Yes, they do.
All right. See, Regina, go to Hendricks County, Indiana Democratic Party.
And if you also need to help our campaign out, you can go to www.thefuture, that's thefuture33.com.
Okay. All right. Because I really want to get in. There's a lot of things that we need to do in that community.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Got that right. I appreciate it, Regina.
All right, thank you.
I got an email from the resident cynic that listens to this program that says, these guys have no answers. How would you answer the cynic?
Well, no answers to what? I mean, what
well,
do you
that,
want
that's
us
why
to...
they're a cynic. They always throw that out there.
Right. But we have answers on how to fix these deaths that are happening to veterans. I'm pretty sure the cynic knows that there's 22 that's happening each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
If he can tell us how we can go about fixing that, then we would love an answer. But I think we have an answer, and it starts with accountability. You know, let's follow the written rules in place. You know, once we get the written rules in place, then let's have our members who are serving this country be treated with a little dignity and respect. I think that's what the president has said numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
And to follow up, we're going to need money. Simple as that. And you had asked a question about money before, and I'm saying that since there's so much money being pushed out here in these political campaigns now, let's pull some of that money in. You know, let's bring those tax rates back to where it was during Clinton days and start pushing that money towards veterans and getting veterans back on their feet. I think that's something that we should all be wanting to do, whether you vote for a Democrat or not.
John Futrell, our standard closing question with all candidates on this that come on this program. If people want more information about your campaign, you're running for the Democratic nomination in the 4th Congressional District. How do people get a hold of you?
Yes, you can get a hold of us at my website, which is thefuture33.com, thefuture33.com. That's thefuture33.com. Or we have a phone number, which is 317- 517- 514-4891. 4091.
John Futrell, first of all, thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you for letting us know that you were here. He is John Futrell. He is running for the Democratic nomination for Congress in the 4th Congressional District. That is the Western Suburbs. All y'all out there in Hendricks County, Avon, Brownsburg, Plainfield. All y'all on the wrong side of Geist Reservoir, between Geist Reservoir and Country and Raceway Road. Y'all know who you are. Claremont, even. All y'all out by the airport where they wanted to put the jail. Plus Greencastle. Plus Lafayette, West Lafayette, Purdue University. Wait a minute. That means Mitch Daniels could cross over in the Democratic primary and vote for you.
I hope he will.
See, we think about it. Lafayette, West Lafayette, and all those truck stops on I-65 up there, about past the Windmill Farms and everything. John Futrell, good luck to you. Thanks
Thank
very
you,
much
sir.
For being
Appreciate
with us.
Appreciate it.